Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art, history, gossip podcast.
Gossip.
Well, it's right after, when we're recording this, it's right after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that wasn't too traumatic for everybody out there.
Oh, my goodness.
It can always be a thing sometimes, you know.
There's just so many opinions that happen.
Why do you have to share this at the table right now?
I mean,
abortion? Really?
It's Thursday.
We're all trying to have a good time right now, please.
Yeah, and you've been like sober through the holidays, right?
Yes, yeah. I've done sober October and sober November. Ugh. And there's a reason. Yeah, like I went to the doctor and she's like, "You're fine." How much do you drink? I'm like, like a lot of us, probably too much. And she's like, "Okay, go ahead and stop for 8 weeks and then come back in."
8 weeks.
Yeah. And I'm like,
Long time.
Eight weeks. So that's through Halloween and Thanksgiving. and she's like, this lady, she's like, "Is that, how hard is that gonna be for you?
Oh my God, are you serious?"
And I'm like, "No, I'm not saying I need help. Like, I can do it. I just don't want to.
And isn't it fine to just say you don't want to do it?
I don't really want to do that. Or is there another time I can do that that's less inconvenient for my needs?
For my emotional needs. Yeah, that does sound bad, doesn't it? Yeah. That doesn't exactly sound
And it's like, no.
Like we don't have an issue.
Yeah.
But the truth is the holidays are just so much better with a glass of wine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot. Oh, yeah.
But no. I recommend that I do feel good. You know, I'm less like puffy.
Yeah.
I definitely have noticed less puff.
Yeah.
And I got a puffy, we got a face right here.
You're so cute. You got the cutest puffy face. But yeah, no, I hear
it's
you.
Less,
I can't,
a little less.
I can't really, I mean, you know, as we're getting older, I can't really drink like I used to at all. And in fact, I drink the most sitting down and doing this podcast.
Yes, because it's fun.
So I've got my drinks lined up. Sorry, Chelsea, I'm not being sober with you through this, but I've got wine and a Guinness.
Oh, see, yeah. I never got into Guinness. It's too dark.
It's so good. I'm all about it.
I like a good cerveza or something like that. Some light or something.
Yeah.
Right,
so when does the sobriety end?
Literally ends tomorrow.
Oh my God.
So the next pod where I'm getting schloshy.
Okay, let's get schmooshy schmoshed. Cool. I mean, I can't because I got the kids, but I'll still have my, you know, my two glasses with you.
Yeah, mommy juice. Gotta have some mommy juice.
Mama needs her baba.
Yes.
Okay. Any drama? How is sober Thanksgiving?
It was fine. We actually just went to Buca de Beppo, one of our favorites. Buca de Beppo in Encino. Okay, if any of my girlies are on here, also any of you T fans are also into the Real Housewives. Dorit from Beverly Hills Housewives designed the Capri Room in Buca de Beppo, and it just has like lemons and stuff. Like, it's supposed to look like Tuscany or something. So
hella lemons ever, in Tuscany.
If you're ever in the area, check out the Capri Room at Buca de Beppo. But yeah, it was very good. And
I'm so over turkey.
I don't like any of that stuff.
I know you hate mashed potatoes.
No mashed potatoes. I know everyone's drama. Like, yeah, I don't like mashed potatoes. It's weird texture. It's gooey. I don't like that.
It's controversial.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know. I'm so subversive. And I think a lot of people are doing the alternative Thanksgiving of let's do Thai food or like let's do something good.
Fucking love
Thai food. Yeah. Let's do something fucking good or Mexican food or something. Yeah. Not just do this weird turkey with cranberry sauce. You guys like that? It's disgusting.
I just like, I'm fine with it once, like one time. But now I have leftovers and I'm just like, okay. This is carrying on.
For this me. Is carrying on.
This is too much. Well, yeah, I'm glad there was no drama.
Yeah, no drama. But yeah, no but drama. Also no juicy tea of like politic freakouts or anything like that. So,
but we'll get going. We have enough tea,
and
to
we're
talk
in
about.
Our little adornments today. Yeah. So I've got the sparkle. I don't know. I was going for.
Well, I mean, you said like Renaissance.
Yeah,
right?
Renaissance.
This is
art.
Literally okay. So this is a regular headband that I just tilted.
It's kind of giving me like wise man, like that kind of feel. I got a little sparkle. It's the thick headbands are in right now.
Well, we wish you and all your family the best during this holiday season. Mm. We know that shit is fucked, and things can seem really bad sometimes. So we hope to be a bright spot in your otherwise, in the otherwise shitty world.
Yeah. Tune into Baroque Bitches on your way to family to chill out or on your way away from family to decompress.
Yeah.
Get back
and honestly,
to reality.
learning about some of these people, I mean, I know times are tough and shit is bad, but it's just a reminder that it's bad, but it can always be worse.
Yeah, so that's a way to look at it. Right?
So, yeah.
It could be worse.
It could always be worse.
Oh. So
I'm excited to learn about how shitty it was and whoever we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Let's. Okay. So. Little bit of visualization. Okay, so get ready for the vision. All right. There are those who wonder, what's my purpose? What will I leave behind? And will I be remembered? Not me. Definitely not me. I know exactly why I was put here, and I know my one and only purpose that God chose for me. I know because He works through me, and my gifts are a representation of His glory. I feel Him with every chisel of the marble and every stroke of the brush. I am not to eat. I am not to sleep. I'm not even to love. I am only to work. The Pope will come to understand soon, especially after he sees this new sculpture. I have no doubt that this sculpture, my masterpiece, will be superior to any and every work of art. It will be a symbol of Florence's strength and faith forever. Even Leonardo can't come close to its magnificence. Looking upon my David will bring any non-believer to his knees, and any adversary, like Goliath, will fall because of his perfect design. Now, I might not look like much, frail, stinking, and covered in marble dust, but like David, I will dominate any behemoth that challenges me through my God-given talents. From the hands of God, you're welcome, Michelangelo. So this is definitely some big dick energy here. Big dick
Holy
crazy
shit.
Energy.
He sounds like such an asshole.
He is, and we will get into this guy's fucking attitude.
Excited.
Yes. So he's got lots of rivalries.
Lots of toot in the pants.
Oh, gosh.
Dude, just... I fucking love Michelangelo. Hell, I mean, yeah. I don't know as much. I'm excited to learn.
Yes.
But my, like, first impression and what, like, the little bit I have in my back pocket, I fucking love this guy. He's, like, a little bad shit, right?
He is definitely a little bad shit. He's got enemies. He's got frenemies.
He's got enemies. People. Got a lot of enemies.
Yeah, he's got people that just kind of have to deal with him because he's just that good. And yeah, like anybody wants to be in that position, right? You have to deal with whatever I give you because I'm that fucking talented.
Like, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I want to be that.
Totally. Anybody would. I'll never be that. Anybody would. Yeah. Of like, I don't care. I am not going to be agreeable. Because I'm going to do whatever I want because I am from God. So.
Oh, so he's that guy at the Thanksgiving
hell
table.
Hell yeah. Yeah. He would, yeah, give you some shit and walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave the shit
just
at the
like,
table.
Just like say something fucked up and then just mic drop and
100%.
Leave.
So this guy, big dick energy and a half, Statue of David, Sistine Chapel, right. All of the mm-hmm. Italian tourist attractions. So if you visited yep. Italy, you
been there.
Ate some pasta, you went to churches, yum. And saw uh-huh. some muscular people on a ceiling. And we'll get into why everyone is a juice head gorilla in all of his paintings. And he did live a long time, and there's a fucking lot about him. So we're going to try to keep it to the cool stuff. We're not going to get into too okay. much of the political stuff.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
So Michelangelo Di Lodovico Buonarroti Simoni was
wow.
I don't know if I did any of that,
that
right.
Hot. I liked
was
it.
Was born March 6, 1475. So he was a creative okay. Pisces. Ooh, we love a good Pisces. So he's one of the most
fish.
Yeah, he's the fish go. They're supposed to go with the flow, but then they really fucking don't.
Oh, they're just like flop. They're just flopping around yeah. on the
love
land. Like, what am I doing here?
But yeah, they're supposed to be real creative too. So they're creative people.
Okay.
And he's one of the most influential sculptors, painters, architects, and poets of the High Renaissance. So the High Renaissance, they're not high. This is like the golden age of the Renaissance. So they changed
right.
into the way people related to art. We talk in illusion of depth. We talk in movement. We talk in humanism. Leonardo, ooh. Raphael, Donatello, and all the other Ninja Turtles.
it's kind of like the all-star time of like Italy all
yes.
art. Like this is LeBron. This is Anthony mm-hmm. Davis.
Kobe.
This is Steph Curry. This is like
Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe.
Yeah,
this
show,
Kobe.
For
like show. Yeah, it's just like the rock star group that's really everybody knows.
Why was Michelangelo the best though? Not only was he the best Ninja Turtle, but he understood the human body and human emotion like no other, and we'll get into why he understood the body so much.
Ooh.
So let's get into some context. What, when, why, how, all the things.
Schmuntics.
So he was born in Caprese, Italy, near Tuscany. And for many generations, his family were bankers, but
okay.
they were failed bankers.
Oh,
yeah,
that's not
they
good.
Weren't that good. so dad, we'll get into daddy. Ludovico, the one, he's kind of the one that failed at banking. So he's kind of, yeah. And then he became like a minor government official in his town. And he was also the one to prohibit Michelangelo from pursuing the arts. So
what a dick.
Yeah. I feel like parents like to do this, especially when they got no leg to stand on when it comes to
yeah.
decision making.
Yeah.
So basically, don't listen to your parents.
Don't listen to your parents
yes.
unless you like your parents and they tell you what to do. I'm
yeah.
a parent, so I've got to be on the parent side a little bit. But if your parent's a dick, then yeah, don't listen.
Yeah, I try to, you know, stay objective and say, this guy's just a dick. And get beyond the guilt. Like, you can do it, girl. Like,
you
got
this.
Fucking do this. So
yeah.
So he always had a weird relationship with dad, because when he does inevitably get into the arts and get gets big and fancy commissions and becomes a rich man, daddy wants his money.
Guess who's right there?
Daddy, where can I have your
they
money?
They all call him, come crawling back, fucking don't they? Asshole. Don't they, Mikey?
And mommy, poor mom. So Francesca died when he was six. She just had like a lot of prolonged chronic illnesses. So we don't know much about mommy. So after mommy dies, his family moves to Florence, where Michelangelo briefly lived with a nanny and her husband, who was a stone cutter that with marble. So this is really
adds up.
This is really where the marble obsession starts. And these stone cutters, a lot of times they did, because it was hot, a lot of times they did work naked. I would love to see that. So the stone cutters.
Nakey job. That sounds dangerous.
I know. Like your penis. Like, is
that? Like you're like chipping off like a big chunk of marble. And that could just
naked.
Like. That could hurt some sensitive areas.
I can't imagine some of the accidents, but this really began the marble obsession and the men working with marble obsession. Like, I get it. I totally get it. Yeah, I would probably get a little obsessed too.
just seeing these naked dudes.
Working. Strong ass naked dudes. So, wow. Okay. So daddy sends Michelangelo is kind of the like Italian pronunciation,
Michelangelo,
but we kind of hear, you know, we're Americans,
we'll call him Mike.
Yeah Mikey. We've got that Michelangelo. So daddy sends Michelangelo to grammar school because he wants him to be some sort of like banker, politician, some boring shit. To us. Mm-hmm. If you have like a major passion for law, then you're amazing and we're super impressed by your fancy brain.
Chelsea's stepdad is like a whiz at accounting. And we love that he loves it so much. We just love somebody that loves what they're doing so much. It's really inspiring to see.
Too. And you should really consider buying some art if you do have a big fancy brain and a fancy wallet. Buy some stuff. Be a patron. Yeah. And we'll get into why patronage is so important for Michelangelo soon. So just so you know what a patron is, it's the guy with the cash. So this is the guy that spends money on things like art and architecture. And for somebody like an artist or an engineer to build something or make something for them. So that's what a patron is. Yeah. Yeah, the guy with the money. So Michelangelo doesn't like school. No interest in whatever bullshit daddy wants him to do. So
got it.
Instead, he did love the paintings in the churches in Florence and absolutely fell in love with Florence. Florence is the center of art and pretty much the center of the Renaissance. And the paintings in these churches were dope. And Michelangelo would make friends with painters and duplicate paintings. And he was good. Okay, but let's get into like, what is the Renaissance? So here's the short version. We had the Greeks, right? That's like 400 BC, and they were smart and creative and made cool shit a long ass time ago. That's called classical art. And by the by, we're dealing with Western art history at the moment. There's other really cool shit happening in Asia and Africa and all over the world. Anyway, so the Greeks and the Romans were doing okay for a long time. Then the fall of Rome happened because of corruption, because people suck and they're greedy. And then the rise of Christianity in the Middle Ages. Some people call it the Age of Faith, and some refer to it as the Dark Ages. So basically, everyone is looking to the church to answer literally everything. You got a stuffy nose, God. It's raining, God. You're shitting blood, it's God. So pretty dumb, right? Yeah, I agree. So then in the 1400s, the time we're talking about now, people decided not to be as dumb and wanted to get back to the studies of the classical dudes like Plato and shit. That's why it's called the Renaissance, because that does mean rebirth. So
rebirth.
We're born again. So things be born changing. Again. Like art, politics, society, and everything. Learning was getting cool again. But don't get me wrong. Everyone's really fucking Catholic right now, including Michelangelo. And the art was like a mix of Greek mythology and Christian mythology. But people are using their brains more. So we're good. We're good. Michelangelo is 13 and becomes an apprentice for this popular painter, Domenico Ghirlandaio. Dude, this kid was so good that he got the attention of Lorenzo de' Medici.
Dude, that's the guy you want. In case you guys don't know. That's the guy that has the money.
Totally. Yeah. So you might recognize that last name. So who the fuck are the Medicis and why are they so powerful? So they're bankers.
They're bankers.
Oh my God. They were bankers. And this family basically funded all of the fucking Renaissance. And they were the tastemakers, the influencers. And they snagged all the most talented people to work for them and to make cool shit for them. So I do talk them up a lot because of the art patronage shit, because we wouldn't have a lot of these things without them. But they were not all cool.
Total fucking assholes.
Yeah, they were also super corrupt and violent and did anything for power, including kill people that got in their way.
All the fucking time.
Yeah, so good slash bad.
Good slash bad.
Yeah, like
we're multifaceted as humans, right? We're like we can be good and bad.
Kill people in our way. So Lorenzo is the ruler of the city, and he's known purely as the Magnificent.
Lorenzo the Magnificent, right?
Yeah, don't call me Chelsea anymore. Now just call me the Magnificent. Like, is that a nickname you give yourself? I'm the Magnificent now. Go ahead and call me that. I don't know.
I have no idea, but I've always wanted a name that starts with the after the hearing Phoebe something. And friends be like, I want a name that starts with the, like the Hulk. I would like an Magnificent.
So he's in this Medici school now and apprenticing for some dudes and sculpting some cool reliefs. Mm-hmm. And a relief is not like, oh, what a relief. It's like a sculpture out of a stone plate. And it looks like the figures are raised out of the plane. Like, almost like a sculpted painting.
It's like half of the body is like stuck in the painting.
It's still in the marble.
Coming out, but it can't get out.
Yeah, fully. So you're basically like carving into a plate of marble and the figures are kind of coming out. So he's practicing. So he's doing these really cool reliefs. And we got some school tea. So this classmate of Michelangelo, this other artist, Pietro Torrigiano, apparently punched Michelangelo in the nose, permanently disfiguring him.
No.
Yeah.
Why do you have to go for the nose?
So if you see some of his self-portraits, you'll see his nose is kind of squished. According to Torrigiano, Michelangelo was a shit talker and kept pissing him off, and he punched him.
I was gonna say, because like in the Caravaggio, like when I was learning about him, there's like injuries mean something in Italy, and so disfiguring a face is like for talking shit.
Yeah,
if you like damage my honor, so I'm gonna fuck you up and punch you in the nose. Probably deserved it.
Totally. Yeah, and this kind of attitude does go throughout, so it does make sense. Michelangelo was a shit talker and would definitely critique people's work. So others we love him already. So others say that Torrigiano was just jealous and that's why he punched him. I don't know. So I think it's just a lot of like super explodey testosterone probably at this point. They're teenagers, teenage boys.
Penises make humans do weird things.
Okay, it's your chemicals, you know.
It's the chemical. It's just so much happening inside.
Yeah,
I get it.
So this hot-headed personality is going to be typical throughout his whole life. So
right.
But he's still like consistently getting better at his anatomical drawings, and okay. he wanted to learn more about the body. So he gifted this church a carved wooden crucifix so he could poke around at the dead bodies in the church's morgue.
Ew.
Yes, and this dude dissected
yeah.
not only humans, but pretty much every known animal during this whole career. So he was always learning a lot more
so
about
this
the
is
body.
Like for the sake of like knowing how to recreate a three-dimensional
100% so he can get better at carving anatomical bodies and painting.
I just like do not understand why you would need to dissect a human
yeah.
to like understand what it looks like three-dimensionally.
Yeah so I think he Ooh. Was really trying to figure out too like the tendons and the muscles of like what happens if you raise your finger up a little bit. There's a little tendon right. that expands and he was super accurate when it came to anatomy, and it was a huge part of his practice, and he actually probably dissected more cadavers than even doctors and like anatomy professionals do now. So he was in there all the time learning about the body.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like kind of like a qualifier for some like other obsessive type 100%. Of shit, though.
Oh, he's obsessive. Yeah. He's really obsessive about being like the best fucking artist.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe this is just me being dumb, but it's
can't
like.
Can you just do that from like a live model?
Can you just like. Yeah. Yeah. Like, do you have do to. Have like, to you could dead? Probably figure that out. Another way that doesn't involve like dissecting dead bodies. Like, is this. I'm getting like the vibes of like kid that killed a cat sort of deal. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Now, I don't. He wasn't into actually like killing any of these people or anything like that. But I do think that, and we'll get into some mental illnesses that he probably did have. We'll get mm-hmm. into why possibly he felt more comfortable too with people that aren't alive rather than oh. because he can kind of control them rather than people that he can't control.
Ooh.
So we will get into, yeah, some mental illnesses that he might have had.
Right.
You can point to that a little bit. I don't know exactly like what a guy 600 years ago was dealing with, but you know.
Probably a lot.
Yeah. He was definitely a loner too.
Yeah.
One, I mean, he probably couldn't really keep a friend because of his attitude. Because
he's a total dick.
Yeah, because he is a dick. But he also, I think he preferred just being alone. There'd be a lot of times like at a meeting or something. And this guy was, he was really popular. So people wanted to talk to him. And sometimes he would storm off. He would definitely drop a deuce on the table and then storm off. Like that kind of thing. I'm like, what? What did you just say? Seriously? All right. So, yeah. So he's dissecting. And there's this other Medici dude, Piero de Medici, who admired Michelangelo's work and commissioned a snowman. nothing else is known.
Cool.
Yeah, big ass snowman. Nothing else is known. Was it a man? Was it a woman? It was all we know that it was absolutely beautiful. And it got Michelangelo into the Medici court.
Moving on up.
So we'll talk about some of the commissions. He had a lot of commissions. So this commission is kind of funny. He was commissioned to sculpt St. John the Baptist and to make it look like it'd been buried so the patron buying it would think it was ancient and be charged more for it. So that didn't end up working. But the Cardinal Riario that bought it was so impressed by it that he invited Michelangelo to work in Rome.
Ooh, Rome
if you wonder. So he's 21 on Ooh. His new Roman adventure. Yeah, yes. He's still like really young, and he's commissioned to make my favorite sculpture, Bacchus.
Oh, fucking god. Love Bacchus.
Let's fucking party.
Yeah, in the name of Bacchus, I'm gonna pour more beer.
Hell yeah, he'll love that.
Let's go.
So Bacchus, if you don't know, is based off of Dionysus, and he's the wine god. god. He's like the party god, debauchery, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So Michelangelo's Bacchus looks wasted with a chalice and his little satyr. And a satyr is like, it's like a little elf looking dude. He's a mischief maker. So if you ever see a sculpture with like a little mythical looking dude and they usually have like the body of a goat, that kind of thing, that's like your little debaucherous spirit that wants you to like party. He made him not godlike proportions, but realistic, like what a consistently drunk dude might look like. I don't know. He's still really hot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really hot, even though his dick is gone. And there has been some theories about his dick being missing. So either it did fall off because it was too big.
Oh.
Or somebody might have actually hacked it off.
What?
So anybody out there listening that might have Bacchus's penis, please return it. But the cardinal that commissioned it actually didn't like it. He thought it was too hot and deemed it a sinful object of desire.
Prude.
So. Okay. You think this is hot? Okay, cardinal.
Listen, cardinal, why is your mind in the gutter?
Yeah, sorry you don't get it. So basically, fuck that cardinal. And Michelangelo was really bummed, but he did get noticed by this other French cardinal, Bilhedes Lagraulois.
Nailed it.
I'm fucking saying his
so
name.
Good.
This fucking French cardinal. And he commissioned probably one of the most important sculptures of all time, the Pieta.
Oh, yeah. This one's so good.
So, yeah. So he's still in his like early 20s,
dude. Dude, that's crazy. Thing, so. When I was in my early 20s, let's just say.
God. No.
We had to learn how to do butt binding in Art 101, and I did it mine with duct tape. So.
Oh, yeah. It's conceptual. So the Pieta, that's like the Virgin Mary grieving over the body of Jesus after he's removed from the cross. And it's really emotional, even for me. And I'm not really, obviously, I'm not religious.
Yeah, but you're human.
Yeah, but it's totally more than that. And you can feel the grief, but also like the peace too. But there are some inconsistencies in the anatomy, and these are intentional. Like, why does Mary look younger than her son? And how can such a small woman hold a grown man in her lap like that? And there's a quote from him. He wanted to create the heart's image.
Wow. Oh, Mikey.
That's kind of so how we beautiful. See Mary as like a young virgin.
Yeah,
but she's also strong, so she can hold up her son like that.
Almost am like tearing up a little bit. But
I
like,
know,
God,
it's just one of those like, stop. That's... A lot of people will feel that same way as soon as they look upon the Pieta, even if you're not, if you have nothing to do with Jesus, Savior, blah, 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 all that stuff. You'll still see a mother grieving over a son situation, but like she's also kind of like relieved in a way too that his suffering is over. So
the heart's image.
Oh yeah, it's a strong one for sure. So Michelangelo, he got a lot of recognition to this, and he did return from Rome. He returned to Florence after this priest. Okay, there's some drama with this priest dude, Savonarola. This priest dude, Savonarola. Was kind
Savonarola.
Of Savonarola
rolls right off the tongue.
Fucking dick. So he was good and bad, though. So Savonarola was kind of like leading Florence at the time, and he was really against the Medici.
Okay.
So him and his followers kind of pushed the Medici out of Florence.
Okay.
And so everyone's just fighting for Florence. Everyone loves Florence, and they just want to rule it.
Right.
So after this priest dude Savonarola was executed, so he was good and bad. He was like all for the poor and didn't like the corruption in the papacy and stuff. And he,
which is good, right?
And he definitely inspired Martin Luther, who later preached against the papacy. You've heard of Martin Luther and Argoia, the Spanish Inquisition one. And he hated the Medicis. But he's lame because he hated the art and the humanism of the Renaissance and wanted to go back to the old Christian ways of shitty, not sexy art.
Yeah. They hated the idea of producing God's image in a realistic way. Like, they thought, like, these are holy beings.
100%.
They should not be
interpreted earthly. Yeah. And he was art, but only in illustrative purposes. To illustrate the Bible like they did in the Dark Ages. The only...
To tell the story, because a lot of people couldn't read.
Yeah. Lots of people back then couldn't read. And so illustrations of the Bible, like, were allowed as long as they were real shitty. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he was definitely like the repent, burn, blah, all that stuff. But yeah, he was executed. Right. So Pope Alexander VI didn't like that and didn't like him. And he had him and two of his disciple priests tortured, hanged, and burned at the stake for heresy. So
listen, Christian be Christian. Yeah,
don't fuck with the Pope. Like, so...
You're not going to win against that papal papal power.
They'll fucking burn you. So Michelangelo is back in Florence because he loves it. He's just like, whatever I can do to get back in Florence. And sexy art is in again since this priest dude is dead. So, yeah. So now we can get into the big guy, the motherfucking Statue of David.
Let's do it, Dobby Day. Get over here.
So here's some facts about this dude. So we can start from the beginning. If you don't know the story of David and Goliath, I'll give you the short version. It's an underdog story of a young shepherd boy who saved the Israelites by slaying this giant warrior Goliath with only a sling and some stones. So it's just like a story of faith and that God is on your side regardless. Lies. So even though this story is about like a little scrawny underdog guy, Michelangelo depicts him with the ideal male body. So he is a fucking gorilla.
Sex. He's like super hot. He is just
oozing it. So,
sex. Except his wiener is like really.
His wiener
small. It's small because he didn't want it to fall off, probably. Well,
there is some things about big dicks back then. So, big dicks were seen as kind of like dumb. They kind of made fun of big dicks. Like, you'll see check out, definitely, if you want to see some dicks, definitely check out the Getty Villa if you are ever in the LA area. It's definitely a go-to tourist attraction.
For seeing dicks?
Specifically dicks. I remember I took my husband there and he was just like, wow, this is all really cool, but there are a lot of dicks. Some of my favorite stuff in there is definitely like, you'll have a bust of a guy on a pedestal, and the pedestal has a dick on it. We can't not show his dick. Every single thing in that museum has a dick on it. And they did have some really like fun, and it's all ancient Greek stuff. So this isn't neoclassical. This is actually classical art. So it's all really old stuff. You can definitely see the depictions of people with really big dicks are more of like cartoons. Like they're more like making fun and like the silliness of like dudes dancing around with their big dicks flopping around.
I love that. That is so funny. It's like, oh, you got a big dick. You're hella.
I can't even walk. My dick is tripping. So it was kind of seen as like having a smaller dick is seen as like a little more proper, I think, and a little bit more sophisticated rather than like having this big old flopping thing on you. So yeah. So small dick audience, we love you. You're sophisticated.
Listen, you are sophisticated.
Look at the Statue of David. He's gorgeous. Listen,
it's not, he doesn't even have a little wiener. I was just kidding. It's like normal wiener.
Is it 100% normal penis?
Normal wiener.
And he is a sex icon.
He's been a sex icon since 14, whatever. So.
Oh my God, how many wet pussies? And you're like, we're just like
looking
something.
At the David, like, wow. It never did it for me, but you know, to each their own.
I think there's a lot of people that like him, and he's big, so he's 17 feet high.
Yeah,
that's huge. That's about the size of a two-story building. The huge chunk of marble that was previously chiseled into by artist was deemed unusable, but Michelangelo was like, I got this. So yeah, it was actually the one chunk of marble that he's made out of was actually not that high quality. But he's like, he's just that good at chiseling fucking marble. So David was intentionally to be viewed from below. So he's is unproportionate when viewed straight on. So his top half looks a lot bigger if viewed straight on than his bottom. But if you look from below where he's positioned, it makes total sense. So
because he knew people would be like on the ground looking up
for sure. He is also intentionally cross-eyed.
Yeah, that's right. If you do get a head on, it's kind of like
there's a little wonkiness there, and that is intentional. So his left eye looks forward while his right eye gazes at a distant point. Rome. So here's some conflicting interpretations of why this guy is looking at Rome. So one interpretation is you can look at it like the eye is looking at Rome to honor ancient Roman masters. Like, okay, that's nice. Or is David, the guy who's gonna fuck you up, looking at the Pope?
Yeah, because he's like, okay, he's like gearing up.
He is not
like, to kill Goliath. This is the before picture.
Typically, a lot of depictions of David is the aftermath of David with Goliath's head, where he's done victory, all and of that. Like, we love him. But Michelangelo's David is actually, the prior to. So
he's like holding the slingshot and the stones
ready to fuck
controversial.
So he might be looking at Rome in terms.
I like that.
Yeah, thing. I like it too in terms of like looking at the Pope. So we'll get into some love hate stuff with the Pope soon. So this guy's fucking with the Pope. So David has also, throughout time, has been the target of violent protests against the Medici. So seeing David as a symbol of the Renaissance and the Medici's basically funding the Renaissance and the Medici's being fucking shady, David was hit by stones. Some dude threw a bench at him, breaking his arm into pieces. There's been several earthquakes that he's dealt with. So he's been repaired a few times. He's out there in the elements.
You are roughing it, and God is not protecting you very much.
Yeah, what's the deal, God? Come on.
What's the deal, God?
I thought you liked him.
Thought this was your David. Yeah. Come on.
So, and right now, too, there's actually a little bit of issue with him because there's been lots of seismic activity in Florence. Oh. So, yeah, people are afraid. We're not sure if he's going to survive through time, basically. But we'll still,
because it was like the shitty marble,
and it's super old, and there's just been some really big earthquakes over there, so hopefully he'll be fine, but we do still repair him all the time.
Can we put him in like a shaky room, one that like shakes intentionally?
I think they're trying to figure something
like a shake
out.
Weight
I think they're trying to figure
if it gets
out.
Rocked, it's just like he's steady.
I think they're trying to figure something out to save him. But so he's been repaired a few times, and he's been kind of a target a lot too. Even Leonardo da Vinci didn't like the quality of the marble. So
yeah, but he was a dick.
Might as well get into this.
Wasn't there like a rivalry situation there?
We'll cycle into this fucking feud because the tea
let's go.
Is hot on this rivalry, too. Oh my God. Okay. So
I'm excited.
Yeah, you should be. So Michelangelo was a hothead and petty as fuck. And Leonardo could also read you like a book. There are both extremely talented artists and the absolute stars of the Renaissance. They would compete for commissions and talk mad shit about each other's work, but they were also like very similar too. They were different and similar. Mm-hmm. They were super talented, but they're very different in like appearance and all this. And we'll get into it.
Right.
So Leonardo da Vinci, if you don't know. So if you've ever traveled to Paris, you ate some bread, took a picture of the Eiffel Tower, and he didn't realize how small the Mona Lisa is.
So tiny. Like, not even worth it. Like, okay, a picture was fine to look
even
at.
Even Michelangelo said it looked small. So, but I mean,
well, yeah, he's making like huge, a fucking 17 foot sculpture, so we know he's not a fan of tiny works, which I love tiny works, so nothing against small works. It's just, you guys gotta admit, the Mona Lisa is a little disappointing. In a plexiglass,
it would be fine, like, if we could get up to it. Like, you have this huge barrier around it. Obviously, it is like one of the most famous paintings of all time.
More of a critique on the Louvre than on the Mona Lisa.
There's gotta be a better way.
Not presenting it in the best way.
You can't even see it. I went all the way to fucking Paris. No. And I can't even say anyway, so Mona Lisa, that's Leonardo. So I do like him because he was definitely a fake it till you make it type of dude. So a patron this guy's hilarious. So a patron would be like, can you build me a new war machine? And he's like, oh my god, totally. I'm like an expert at that. Like,
No idea.
He had no idea. But he tried anyway and conceptualized many modern inventions. He's the poster child for what we know is a Renaissance man.
Rennie man.
He's the guy, sculptor, painter, engineer, poet, musician, all the things.
He does it all.
And he was also particularly fabulous. He was known to wear his finest linens while he painted because he was so graceful.
Okay.
Neither of these two dudes had wives.
Yeah, was that necessary?
Then they were also very Catholic. So we don't know if they were 100% gay or not.
But they were like totally gay.
And I will.
Definitely gay.
So if they were gay, they were somewhat discreet about it. So we'll get into their sexuality soon. So Leonardo and Michelangelo definitely were similar. Big brains, big ideas, big
egos. It's kind of like Frida and Diego. You can't do one without the other. Situation.
100%. Yeah, they're grouped in, whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
But if you just looked at these guys together, you would see a big difference in their appearance.
Right.
Leonardo be looking fly. Ooh. And Michelangelo was always gross and covered in marble dust. And notably fucking stanky, too.
Ew.
So we'll get into his hygiene, too. So sexuality and hygiene coming up.
Yes. I'm here. I'm ready.
So, yeah, there's some good stuff. So Michelangelo was adamant about not wasting time with frivolous shit like bathing or resting.
Okay.
Because these sculptures, because his work took a long time. And in a time where the average lifespan was 50, he was literally like, nobody got time for fucking around. Like, I gotta keep working. He was super, super obsessed with just working.
Aww.
And Leonardo did not like this. So the first time he met Michelangelo, he was noted like, God, he had such greasy hair, and he was one of the ugliest men I've ever seen.
Damn.
He had this gross, disfigured face.
Oh, no.
And so Leonardo would just talk shit. They'd fight about the sculpting versus painting. So they'd fight about art a lot. And Michelangelo is fucking fighting with everyone, including the fucking Pope. So we're talking Pope Julius II, and he was all about the Renaissance.
Right.
Like, he loved all the humanism stuff, and he was known as the warrior Pope.
That cannot be good.
So he was known for that, and he was about making – he really wanted to make Rome like Florence, because Florence was really about art and culture,
right,
and he wanted to make Rome like that.
Right.
And he was, but he was kind of a shitty guy and would be known to literally beat people with a stick that went against
him. The beat so sticky pope. Beaty sticky pope.
He was just power hungry. So we got the angry warrior pope and grumpy ass Michelangelo having to work together to produce some crazy shit.
Doesn't sound like an ideal combo.
There's stuff in there. There's lots of stuff that I can't even get into all of the drama, but there's lots of drama.
Yeah.
For instance, the Pope wanted this lavish ass tomb to be created by Michelangelo. Okay. So he could be remembered to right. be like the most fabulous Pope.
Right.
And so Michelangelo like tirelessly made all of these sketches and all these plans for like the most amazing fucking tomb you've ever seen. But then Pope Julius is like, this is gonna be too expensive. And so, dude, I'd be so fucking
Are you
pissed.
Fucking like, kidding me? Like, you're the you Pope. You are literally taking yeah. everybody's money every single day. What do you mean too expensive? And you're the one with all the money.
Dude, this fucking tomb issue would go on for like 40 fucking years. No. And yeah, of how fucking I understand, I would be super pissed too. Of like, let's just get this done. He did reluctantly end up building him a beautiful tomb. It's just less lavish, and it is thought that the Pope never actually liked it. And then
what's the point, dude?
Oh, who cares? He's gonna be dead. Who cares? So this leads us to another one of the Pope's commissions, the painted ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
Right.
So this is the painting. So this is the one with the creation of Adam, where God and Adam are almost touching fingers.
Right, right.
Reference on album covers, shitty tattoos, and an overwhelming amount of merch.
Yeah. So you guys know you the got Sistine a shirt. Chapel. Come on. It's like the fingers. They're like
almost touching. Now, there's a lot of fucking drama in the creation of the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo did not want to fucking do it.
He's not a painter.
He didn't want to do it.
Why did he do it?
So Michelangelo insisted that the Pope only commission sculptures for him because he preferred sculpting over painting.
Right.
But the Pope fucking wanted it. And there are some historians that believe that this was like a weird punishment like for Michelangelo. Power play. Yeah, for being pissed with this tomb right. drama. So Michelangelo finally did agree to paint the ceiling because, you know, he did fear God and the Pope is supposed to be God's servant.
Popes blah, blah, be popin'. Popes be popin'.
If Michelangelo was gonna do it, he was gonna do it his fucking way. So the Pope had ideas for the ceiling. Like he really wanted depictions of the 12 apostles. And the apostles are like Jesus' friends.
Boring.
And I know. And Michelangelo thought this was dumb and wanted to focus more on the stories of the Old Testament, the crazy shit.
Right.
So this is a good one. So Michelangelo did refuse to show the Pope his sketches and knowing that the Pope would want to change them.
Yeah, because he's a dick. He's an annoying patron.
And it's like, dude, just let him do it. It's going to be amazing. So the Pope got so pissed at him that he couldn't see his sketches that he fucking beat him with a stick and fired him.
Wait, what? He beat Michelangelo with a stick?
He beat Michelangelo with a stick and fired him. Aww, because he's like, Mikey. I'm spending all of this money. I'm giving you all of these resources to do this
fucking
ceiling.
Come here, let me beat you with my stick.
Let me be in the room.
Oh my
God. Let me fucking be
like,
a fly.
What
on the
would
wall.
You do if you were.
If a fucking patron, if they're like, let me see the sketches. And I was like, no, listen, look at the final product. Just
listen,
let me
it's
do.
Gonna be good.
It's gonna
just
be
listen.
Fucking amazing.
It's gonna be fine.
And if
just
they're
like,
no,
trust. Little trust.
Smack. Are you serious?
No, I smite thee with my stick.
Yeah, so these guys are
honestly
fucking...
if you were on the other end of this though and you had the power to like smack people with a stick, would you a little bit?
I mean it depends. Lean into the power.
You probably like your head's getting a little big.
Totally.
You got a stick.
If I'm
you're
the
smacking
Pope,
people, you're like,
I don't
oh.
know what the fuck I'm doing if I'm the fucking Pope.
He's just a total dom.
100%. Yeah, and he's mad. But and they just were fighting. And eventually they came to an agreement and he painted. The Pope was like, fine. He literally was like, I'm sorry. Like, I know.
The Pope apologized?
Yeah, he was like, I know you're going to make it awesome. Fine. You can do it your way. Because he had to get this guy to paint this thing. So after they finally agreed, the Pope actually hooked him up with scaffolding and assistance and 3,000 ducats, which is about like $500,000.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So he hooked him up, even though Michelangelo did prefer to work alone. Because he can't be dealing with assistants all the time.
I mean, they're annoying.
So he works.
And also, like, does he even give a shit about the money? Like, it doesn't seem like he's like...
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get into to his great wealth that he ended up accumulating over the over time. Yeah. And why he just doesn't really give a shit about that. He was so much... He gave a shit about the money, but he was also, like, very much focused on just... making a name for himself and getting his art out there and just being a famous artist, the notoriety kind of thing.
Right, right.
I think a lot more than the money. He didn't really spend money.
I'm thinking about, like, what it meant to be an artist at the time, like, very well known. Mm-hmm. Like, this was, like, revolutionizing art in its day.
And this in is a way. This is the time where artists... got out of being a craftsman, because right. a lot of times artists are seen before this time artists are seen as like a lowly
like you work with your hands, like it's craftsman. Not yeah prestigious. Like a butcher. you're not like yeah like it's just like another a job. Like a trade
yeah
like it's not like
you're a genius. Something
you're not talented, you're not respected for the talent, you know, maybe you're the best sausage guy in town,
100%, the like you best do have a butcher, talent right but this is where art comes out of craftsmanship and into right. like genius territory. Mm-hmm, so he really he leaned into that. He was like, I want to be known for my genius.
Right, and I want my shit everywhere.
He just fucking and like worked.
Dude, here we are in 2023. People talking know what the fucking him. Sistine Chapel People is. Sistine so
Chapel, you went there. You looked Touché. Up at the ceiling. You went there.
Right.
So there is a lot about the Sistine Chapel. So let's get into just some fun facts. So this is the chapel that hosts the papal conclave. So that's the white smoke, black smoke thing, signaling the voting process for the new pope. So when the white smoke appears from the chimney, we got a new pope. Yay.
Oh, yay. Who so, gives a shit?
Yeah, I know. I guess Catholics. But Michelangelo, they're all stoked. Michelangelo did not paint the ceiling on his back like in the movie Agony and Ecstasy. You'll see in the movie that he's on scaffolding on his back, which probably would have right. been easier, but he was actually standing.
sounds
so
dumb.
Yeah, it hurts. So yeah, and he had some body stuff. But yeah, it took Michelangelo 4 years to complete, and he was only 37 when it was finished in 1511. So there's like a shit ton of scenes and 300 figures in this fresco, but the centerpiece is 9 scenes from the Book of Genesis, like the whole in the beginning stuff, and of course the creation of Adam. So this was cool. I learned that it is theorized that the angels and the drapery around God in this painting look like either a human brain or a human uterus.
And, whoa.
And the scarf.
Okay. Starting to get on board with the human dissecting stuff.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And there is a lot of... things that are pointing to human anatomy in his work, and the scarf hanging around the angels could be an umbilical cord. Oh. So we could think about it as the birth of man, or if it is a brain, it could be the creation of man's intelligence. We don't really know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the uterus thing might explain Adam's belly button, since it's like he shouldn't have a navel if he's right. if he's the first guy. Fuck. So I did not think about
all
that.
All of this is so intentional. So all these little symbols are intentional. Adam also has an extra rib because Eve is supposed to be born from his rib. So this was some drama because there's a couple of different interpretations of the story. So the typical Catholic belief is that Eve was created after Adam, not alongside him.
Right.
Because women always have to come last because everyone fucking hates us. So either Michelangelo just totally disagreed with his Catholic belief, or he just wanted to piss off the Pope.
Probably that.
Yeah. So this is also the first depiction of God as an old white muscular man with a white beard. The question that most visitors ask while looking at the ceiling, and why is everyone a juice head gorilla, including the women? Why are all the chicks so muscular?
Why are they so muscly?
So there is lots of theories on why all of Michelangelo's women were muscular. So my favorite one, Michelangelo might have been a feminist, maybe. So Michelangelo, like many artists, hid shit in their work that dum-dums can't catch. So either to make fun of their dum-dum patrons or use subliminal messages.
Right.
Artists are just fun like that. Like, let's fuck around with these guys a little bit. So many dum-dum historians think that Michelangelo only had male models to use for his figures, and he had to tack on boobies on male
bodies.
I don't buy it. Yeah. So this dude, this guy was obsessed with anatomy. You think he's gonna like
and look at the Virgin Mary, the Pietà that he did like years and years prior. Like, there's no way
he's gonna half-ass a female body. Like, no. So he made the woman buff. It's said that he made the woman buff to show their strength. So
I was gonna say, because we're so strong.
So I like this theory more than the other ones. We really don't know what this dude 600 years ago was thinking, but here are some other theories that just don't vibe with me. Some think Michelangelo was gay, so only male bodies, because gay artists can only depict the bodies of who they're sexually attracted to. Yes.
I was going to say, that doesn't... Dumb. Yeah, I don't think so.
Some say... Okay, exactly. Next. Some say he didn't have access to female bodies because it was a faux pas to hire female nude models back in the day. So this is kind of true, but there's some other shit.
I don't know. Maybe.
If you check out other nudes from this time, they look like beautiful women. And even if female models were unavailable, there were male models for hire that had female-like proportions that were hired instead. So actually many of the beautiful nudes from the Renaissance were actually based off like curvy male model nudes. And sex workers are always and have been and always will be a thing. So this whole you can't access a female body, I think, is bullshit. So I like the feminist theory one. So
I feel like it checks out, like out of everything, like it checks out.
So that's the Sistine Chapel. Check it out if you're in Italy. You got to. It's part of the tour anyway. So
been there. If you go in summer though, like bring a fan.
It's crowded. It's hot. It's hardcore. So after the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo had many other commissions. Many of them fell through because of funding from the patrons. So that's annoying. And Michelangelo had this love-hate relationship with the Medici and with the various popes that would come into power. He had a long life, and this and he would consistently be in favor and out of favor, blah blah blah, moving away from Florence and back to Florence, and mostly because Michelangelo would always support Florence regardless who's ruling it. So he's like, my heart is always going to be in Florence regardless of what asshole is ruling it right now. Eventually he would be back in favor of the Pope and be commissioned to continue building St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Rome, which has always been referred to as the greatest creation of the Renaissance. It's a big fancy church.
I mean, yeah.
So it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. If you're going to the Sistine Chapel, you can't miss it. It's right next to it. It's like right there.
It's awesome. So. So he made a lot of stuff. Let's get into his personal life.
Yes. Okay.
Stuff. So this whole theory that he was gay comes from his poem. So let's get into the romantic shit. There's sexy stuff.
Gay, straight, gay, straight, gay, straight, gay, straight.
There was actually a lot of confusion about these poems and a sexual preference because his grandnephew actually published his poems and his letters in 1623, but he changed all the fucking pronouns to femme pronouns.
No. Yeah, what a fucker.
So that's why we're confused about his sexuality, because it's like, well, he has all these love letters to women and it's like, they weren't to women, baby. They were to men.
Dudes. So they were to dudes. Yeah, so, they were to guys.
As you can imagine, homosexuality was a no-no back in super Catholic Italy. And probably today, even though Pope Francis is kind of cool with it. So we're okay with Pope Francis. He's okay. All right, you can stay. Florence in particular was actually a little more open about it. This is the artsy town, so a little bit more open, but you still do have to hide it a little bit because sodomy is illegal.
Right.
Sodomy. So right. Michelangelo actually did get charged for sodomy, but was later acquitted. By the way, Leonardo, Cellini, Botticelli were also charged with sodomy, and Leonardo was actually arrested several times for it. So this whole, like,
how does that, like, happen? Like, are you mid act and somebody gets the word?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know if it's mid act.
Is it like a sting operation?
I think it's more like just people talking of, I guess who I slept with last night, that kind of thing. Right. So I think people are talking. And also, it is theorized that this is one of, like, the worst faux pas to do. So I think a lot of people are, like, kind of throwing people under the bus too. Like, oh, but he's a sodomizer. Right. Oh, is he? Let me arrest him. That kind of thing. So that could have been it too.
Right, right.
But yeah, Leonardo was actually arrested for it. So Michelangelo was charged, but he wasn't arrested. So I think a lot of people are fucking dudes.
I mean, listen. Truth lies in the rumors. And I feel like these guys probably got off scot-free a few times.
100%. 100%. Because of who they were. Yeah. And Michelangelo, it is said that Michelangelo was acquitted because the guy he was involved with was somebody of notoriety. So he was basically like, no. Okay. Let me give you some.
No. Listen. I'm fucking the head priest of that church.
Exactly.
Go talk to the Pope, okay? Not Julius, because that guy beats me with a stick. But yeah, like the next one.
So there is evidence of romantic feelings for men and his, like, beautiful letters. So there's this, I know, like, I want to read you all of these, but I'm just going to give you, like, a couple of tidbits. They're written so beautifully. There's this one nobleman, Cavalieri, that he liked a lot. So so here's a couple of juicy tidbits.
He likes a guy in power.
Yeah, he really liked him. So, my very dear lord, I was moved to write to your lordship, not by the way of answer to any letter received from you, but being myself the first to make advances, as though I felt bound to cross a little stream with dry feet or a ford made manifest by paucity of water. But now that I have left the shore, instead of trifling water I expected, the ocean with its towering waves appears before me, so that if it were possible, in order to avoid drowning, I would gladly retrace my steps to the dry land where I stand it. Still, as I am here, I will make of my heart a rock and proceed further. And if I shall not display the art of sailing on the sea of your powerful genius itself, will excuse me. nor will be disdainful on my inferiority in parts, nor desire from me that which I do not possess, etc., etc. Like, this goes on and on God. With this wave shape.
Jesus Christ. So, okay, so my Michelangelo stage 5 clinger, like, he is just like doing the most.
Somebody write to me this fucking, you have to get through a wave. So this dude fucking wrote back, this Cavalier like, guy wrote
leave me
back.
The fuck alone.
No, he liked it. So, okay. I promise you truly that you shall receive from me for your kindness affection equal and perhaps greater in exchange, for I have never loved a man more than I do you. So they loved each other.
That
yeah.
is so sweet. So, even though Michelangelo's letter is like way too much for me, I guess that guy was like a cancer or something. Like, he must have loved that.
Totally. He was for it. Yeah, he loves the love bombing. So he's also said to be in love with his assistant, Phoebo di Poggio. He wrote this poem to him. God. Not comforts you, I see, unless I die. Earth weeps, the heavens for me are moved to woe. You feel of grief the less, the more grieve I. O sun that warms the world wherever you go, O Phoebo, light eternal for mortal eyes, why dark to me alone, elsewhere not so? So, so he wrote...
This guy.
I know of like, so, and he had a weird relationship with Phoebo. He definitely was like, he was his assistant. So I think there was a lot of closeness there and probably a lot of bullshittery around that too. So Phoebo was also said to have like stolen money from him too. So there's some weirdness there. I think Phoebo was kind of using him and he knew that Michelangelo loved him. So I think there was a lot of like using stuff. And manipulation and stuff. So he wrote some beautiful and passionate letters to the men he loved. But again, nothing is confirmed. But okay, if this was like a friend love, then why would his grandnephew feel the need to change
it's
the pronouns?
Okay, it's obvious that it's just like...
It's obvious that he's in love with these guys. Like, I'm sorry. I know Italians can be affectionate. But like, I think he's in
this
love
is
with
a
these
lot.
Fucking guys. Yeah. So, yeah, he was most likely, it's pretty much confirmed that he was most likely gay. Or like a little, he was also like a loner too. He might have been a little asexual too. Some more personal stuff. So what about some personal hygiene stuff? So y'all know you like the stinky stuff. So even though Michelangelo became a very rich man, some say in today's money, he would have been a multimillionaire because of his multiple expensive commissions. And he did not live like a rich man, though. There's a really good quote. However rich I may have been, I have always lived like a poor man. So he would rarely bathe and he would often sleep in his clothes and his boots.
Ew.
So there's something with the boots. So according to one of his apprentices, he kept his boots on so long that they fused with his skin. And
oh my
one
God.
Day he attempted to take them off and it took some skin with him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So the boots that he had were made out of like dog skin. And the dog skin is like very like soft. And I guess.
But why?
I guess that's just, that's just like, I think they're like pliable.
That's just.
Like more pliable. And they're
kind of like little
gladiators a little bit. But yeah, it said because he just didn't take them off that the skin of the dog skin kind of fused with his skin. But it's because he really felt like he had no time to do anything when he was painting, especially when he was painting the Sistine Chapel.
Right. He's like, I can't take my shoes off. I get it. Sometimes at night, I don't want to brush my teeth.
He literally
worked
for 18 hours a day when it came to the Sistine Chapel. And so who the fuck has time for hygiene with that schedule? And he was probably a workaholic. So... Yeah, so here's a good quote. if people knew how hard I worked to get my mastery, it wouldn't seem so wonderful at all. So he's always working, always trying to get better. Ugh. And he is also said to have suffered from untreated mental illnesses, according to some of his writings and some of his behavior. This psychiatrist and researcher, Muhammad Arshad, said that Michelangelo met the criteria for high-functioning autism.
Right, yeah, they don't...
Yeah, I think this led to his obsession with his work and his undivided attention to his masterpieces. He was also mm-hmm. said not to be so great at social situations and preferred to be alone with his work. And I think many artists, especially the good ones, can relate to this mindset in some capacity. Totally. Yeah, it's like his work kind of gave him company, and the figures that he drew were kind of his like friends and family. He didn't even go to his brother's funeral because he...
Yeah,
because
yeah,
and
right?
he just didn't really want to like feel emotion or anything. So, but who cares if he's sinking? Can't talk to people when you make shit like that. So I think that's where like a lot of his patrons were at. Like, we're fine.
Listen, you have to like sacrifice something 100%. To be great. Yeah. If you're gonna sacrifice like a little skin on your feet,
yeah,
totally fine with me. So, dude, be stinky, whatever. Somebody will like your stank. You know, your pheromones, chemicals. Somebody will like your stink. Some people are into that, dude.
Must have been into it. So
we love a stinky bitch. Okay, yeah,
that little bit of sour. Mm. So that's Michelangelo, one of the greatest artists of all time.
Good one.
Weird ass dude, but made cool ass shit. And isn't that how any artist wants to be remembered?
No, I love him. And I love him even more now knowing this stuff about him. I heard the gay rumor, but it's crazy to know how deep-seated that is.
Yeah, he died in 1564 at the age of 89.
Double what the average lifespan was at the time, I'm sure.
Thought he would be, especially with his, like, mm-hmm. not really eating that much and not really sleeping that much.
And, like, not taking care of himself.
And it is said that his last words were, "I'm still learning." So, yeah, aww. Just like Goya. So I think a lot of artists, I think a lot of artists are always in this kind of mindset of
growth mindset.
I am still kind of like a kid and I still always will be learning. Yeah. And I think everyone should kind of be like that.
Listen, assholes, if you think you have nothing left to learn,
you're still
let
learning.
Me tell you something.
Yeah, yeah. And still you're try, still like, try to learn. Try to open your mind a little bit.
Please
yeah.
try to learn.
So, if I had to compare him with somebody today, this was hard.
yeah, who the fuck is this guy?
I like to choose Gordon Ramsay. I don't know.
Wait.
So, okay, there's a couple of things. I feel like we excuse his bad temper because he makes good stuff. And obviously he works his ass off. He's got like 60 restaurants, 20 cookbooks.
He's kind of got a smushy nose a little bit.
And he has his own TV show.
But he's not like unattractive.
And people fucking love his work, but they're also scared that he's going to pop off at any moment. So...
what am I? A bread sandwich?
Oh my
an
God,
idiot
I
sandwich?
Love his kitchen so much, and it's so yes. Oh my God, I would cry. I wouldn't be able to do it.
No, oh I'm not. God. I'm not
what
that strong.
What the fuck is this? Not even cooked.
What the fuck is this shit?
But yeah, so I thought that might have been a good.
No, that's good. Yeah, checks out. I think
that's mad, but good at what he does. So.
Good at what he does. Disgruntled employee
100%.
All day long. Dude, good one. Yeah. Good. Good stuff.
So that's there will be a duplication of one of his sketches coming soon. Check out our Etsy shop. You can see all of the links at BaroqueBeePodcast.com. You can buy stuff on our Etsy. We have merch and we also have handmade things.
Here's our shameless self-promotion section.
Buy stuff, please.
Buy stuff. One of us. One of us.
Patron, like the Medicis. All right. So thank you.
All right.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.